All right, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. When a sinner is filled, so as to be persuaded that because God the Father delivered up His only begotten Son for you, when you're persuaded of that, filled up by His grace and persuaded of that, we'll serve Him, because then we know our Lord will provide everything for us. Everything. He's already done that. 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's begin reading. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, the first verse says here that this widow woman had a husband who had died, and he left her in debt, her and her two sons. Now, it would be easy to jump to the conclusion when you read that this man had a bad character. But notice what's said about this man there in verse 1. She was the wife of one of the sons of the prophets. The word there, son of the prophets, means he was a disciple. He was a believer. And his wife held him in high regard. She says to Elisha, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Twice she refers to him as thy servant. Some think her husband was Obadiah. Obadiah, back in 1 Kings 18. I'll show you that. 1 Kings 18, verse 3. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. There was a famine going on. Now the parentheses tells us, Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. In serving the Lord, this man had left his wife unsearchable riches. For she had obviously been taught by her husband the gospel and obviously believed the Lord, because she came to Elisha, the prophet of God. Elisha was a prophet, but he stands here as a great type of Christ Jesus, the prophet. And in this chapter, Elisha, or through Elisha, there's going to be other miracles that are going to be done. A son is going to be given to a Shunammite woman. this child's going to die and Elisha's going to raise the child again. At Gilgal, he's going to heal poison that's in a pot. He's going to feed 100 men with 20 loaves of barley and ears of corn. He's a type of Christ, Elisha is. Well, she said here in 1 Kings 4:1, at the end there, she said, "The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." We had a debt we couldn't pay. The wages of sin is death. We couldn't pay. We were the lawful bondmen of Satan and of sin. We sold ourselves for nothing. Absolutely nothing. We were unable to redeem ourselves from bondage of guilt and from the bondage of the power of sin. But God Himself paid everything for His children by His Son. Everything for you who believe God, God paid it. He paid it all in His Son. And believe in God, her husband served God knowing that he gave his own son to be his surety and would provide his every need in this world. You see, a true character, the true character is not to be judged by how many possessions a man has or doesn't have. It's not to be judged by the status of life. She says here, "Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." Her husband's character was great. It was great because he feared the Lord and he served the Lord, though he lived poor and he died poor. But this man lived on this promise. This is what Jeremiah 49:11, this is what the Lord said. "Leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me." Now it takes believing God to serve God in your generation, even if through the providence of God you're left as a debtor and your house is left as a debtor. This wasn't from mismanagement. This wasn't from this man living a frivolous life. This man served God and he feared God. But this was done in this case to show us, that God might show us, how He provides for those that He's put in Christ, who He's brought to put all their trust in Christ, and who serve Him with every means that He's given to them. Now that's what her husband did. Now, don't misunderstand this, that this woman was being shown this favor simply because of her husband. This woman believed God. She believed God. She says here, she called herself Elisha's handmaid. She said, "I'm your handmaid." And she came to him trusting he would give her a word from the Lord that would help her. She believed him. And he did. That's exactly what he did. And from what we see here, we learn who God uses, how He uses them, and what He does through them. Here's the first thing. The Lord uses empty vessels. Verse 2. "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." Now she didn't have anything in this house but a pot of oil. That's all she had. She probably had sold everything else in her house. Like the woman with the issue of blood who had paid everything she had and she was nothing better. She had sold everything in the house, but she still didn't have enough to pay her debts. But she had this one pot of oil. The Lord had given her that one pot of oil. Some said she might have been keeping that to anoint her at her burial. I don't know, but she had a pot of oil. She had something. The Lord had given her something. When His child is anointed by the Spirit of God with the oil of joy, with the oil of gladness, it may begin small, but our Lord, through His anointing, is able to make plenty little and little plenty. That's the God we serve. That's what He's able to do. She was to borrow vessels from our neighbors. We don't really like to have to ask somebody for something like this. But this is what God does when He brings us to trust Him, is He humbles us and He makes us importunate. He makes us helpless in ourselves. And that's what she was going to have to confess here, that she had nothing, that she could do nothing. She didn't even have a pot to put this oil in this house. Elisha said that all of the vessels she could, said for her to borrow all the vessels that she could borrow, and said that they were to be empty vessels, absolutely empty. I read to you Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if I'm going to supply all the water that's in this cup, then this cup's going to have to be empty. It's got some water in it now. And if I put water in it now, I've just added to the water that's there. If I'm going to supply all the need and fill this cup to the full, this cup's going to have to be completely, absolutely empty. Empty. And if you come to God, come to Christ, expecting Him to add to rather than supply all your need, you're not going to get anything from God. He's not going to supply you with anything. You see, you have to come to Christ empty of all merit. You have to come to Christ empty of all goodness. You have to come to Christ empty of all power. Now, that's just how it is. If God's going to supply all the merit, if He's going to supply all the goodness, if He's going to supply all the power, we got to come with none. Absolutely not. God does not give seeing men sight. He gives blind men sight. God doesn't clothe those who have clothed themselves. He clothes those who are absolutely naked. He doesn't make rich them that are increased with goods and have need of nothing. He makes rich those who come to Him absolutely bankrupt. And believers continue right where they started. They continue in Christ, trusting Him to provide all our need in this life as we serve Him. If we think by our power that we can provide our need in this life and He just adds to the extra, we'll get nothing from God. We have to be made to know everything we have, He's given it. Take a man who has a job. If you have a job, God gave you the job. If you get up in the morning and go to work, God gave you the ability to get up and go to work. If you make it there, God gave you the grace to make it to that place. If you're able to do that job and stand in favor with your boss, God gave you that favor with Him. If you're able to do the job heartily as unto the Lord, God gave you that heart to do it. If you keep that job, God gave you that job and kept that job for you. And the same God who gave it can take it away. Any of that, anything we just talked about, He can take it away. That firefighter that was rushing over here just a minute ago, was sitting at this stop sign and he had his light flashing and was honking his horn. He come down beside all of us, and that man right in front of him at the stop sign pulled out and popped him right in the side of his car. If it could have been worse than that. But that didn't happen. We call that an accident. That didn't happen by accident. Didn't happen by accident at all. Paul said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He said, as poor, yet making many rich. He said, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. That's how we live in this life. The number of vessels that Elisha told her to bring here were not a few. Look there at the end of verse 3. Borrow these vessels, not a few. Not a few. Many. Bring many. Get as many of them as you can find. Get as many empty vessels as you can find. She only had one pot of oil. She only had one pot of oil. But the Lord's word to her was, you go out and get as many empty vessels as you can round up. Faith expects great things because a great God told us to expect them. The Lord said to Sarah, she was old, her womb was shut up. And the Lord said to Sarah, said to Abraham, Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah heard it, she laughed. And the Lord said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. John 6. Let's look over there real quick. John 6. This is that account of the Lord when he was standing before the multitude. He was standing there before that multitude. It says in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. The Lord already, listen, if the Lord has asked you a question, made you to ponder a question in your mind about how am I going to be provided for? He's just put that question in your mind for you to try you. He already knows what he's going to do. He already knows what he's going to do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. We don't have enough to feed these people. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, tell the people to sit down. Tell the people to sit down. And he fed them all. He fed every one of them. Just like he was about to do with this little pot of oil right here. The Lord took a little handful of people. He called out when he walked this earth. Fishermen and folks that religion turned thumbs down on and didn't think was anybody. And he turned the whole religious world upside down with them. That's right. Using just a few. Our Lord commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You think, well, we only have a few here. Well, he commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said this, I'm able to save unto the uttermost all that come to God by me. All of them. Our Lord will provide all things necessary as he does it. And who was it that gave her neighbors a heart just to hear this knock at the door and her boy stand there and say, my mama sent me over here to get an empty vessel from you. And they just said, okay, here, take it. The Lord can turn, he can turn the king's heart if he's pleased and use him to bless his church. Or he can turn the pauper's heart if he's pleased and use it to bless his church. And he might save them in the process, or he might not save them in the process. But when he's done, those that he saved are going to be ones that he put in the house and provided all things for. And when he's done building the house, he'll just take the scaffolding down and be done with it. Here's the third thing we see here. The Lord shall receive all the glory for this work of grace. All the glory for this work of grace. I'm sorry, this is the second thing. The Lord shall receive all the glory for His work of grace. Verse 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now she and her sons had to shut the door for a reason. They had to shut this door for a reason. None of those creditors who were trying to get her children to be bondmen, none of those creditors were going to be able to take credit for any of this. Elisha was not going to be able to take credit for any of this. None of her neighbors were going to be able to take credit for any of this. The only ones that were going to be behold this work take place was the bride and her children. And they were going to be made to see that God did this and nobody else did this. It was for them, themselves, to see God will get all the glory for doing this. All the glory. Sometimes it's good to shut the door. Sometimes it's good to shut the door, and by that I mean shut the door to any distraction, any influence, anything that would distract you from beholding. This has been performed by God alone. This is the work of God alone. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. Earthen vessels. So first of all, she was taught here, this thing was going to be done by God's grace alone. All right, here's the third thing. She was to use what God had given her, believing God that He would provide what He said He would provide. Now, she was to pour out that which the Lord had given her. That's what she was to do. Elisha merely gave her the word. He told her what the Lord would have her to do. That's all he said to her. It must be obeyed by her willingly. It had to be poured out by her willingly. Not by Elisha, not by anybody else, but by her willingly. Matthew Henry said this, we're never straitened in God, in His power and bounty, and the riches of His grace. All our straitness is in ourselves. It is our faith that fails, not His promise. Not His promise. It was promised her that the oil would be provided as she poured out the oil that He had already given her. It was promised her that the oil would be provided as she poured out the oil that He'd already given her. What do you have that you didn't receive of your Heavenly Father? As believers, what do we have that we did not receive of our Heavenly Father? Well, why did He give us what we have? The answer to that question, by the way, is everything. Everything we have of Him. Why did He give it to us? Why did He give it to us? He gave it to us to use the spiritual riches and the temporal riches. He gave it to us to use for His glory. For His glory. That's why He gave it. He promised that His grace will never cease. It will never cease. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who we trust, who we believe is all our acceptance with God. This is Him speaking. Let's see what he said here. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, this is a parable. But if the ground of a rich man brings forth plentifully, who gave it? Christ gave it. God gave it. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. Isn't it just our nature to say, to try to fence that and hedge that a little bit and say, well, now, wait a minute now. We do need to lay up store for our kids and all this. The man we're looking at in our text, by God's providence, was not able to do that. He was, through persecution and other things, he was only able to serve the Lord with what God had given him. Some say he borrowed to feed those 50 prophets because he wouldn't take it from King Ahab. I don't know. But he was doing anything even beyond what he had to help and serve the purpose of the Lord. And what we're seeing here is God provided for him and for his family. Even when he was gone, he provided for his widow here. Now watch this. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They don't plant gardens and they don't harvest anything. Which neither have storehouse nor barn. Don't have anything to store it into. You know, we'd just be beside ourselves if we didn't have ability to plant and to reap and then even have a place to store it. We would think, how in the world are we going to have anything? How are we going to have anything? Well, the ravens don't have any of that. Nothing. And how does he feed a crow? God feedeth them. He feeds them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you worry and worry and worry, what's that going to do? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and toil not. They spin not. And I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? We're talking about faith here. This is faith. You want to know what the issue is? In all things it has to do with us, with all our, well, but, all that stuff. You know what it is? The issue is faith. That's the issue. That's always the issue. Faith. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. That's what this man in the scriptures did. That's what he did. Yeah, back in 1 Kings 4. That's what he was doing. And that's what his widow was doing. That's what she had done. And all these things should be added unto you. And that's what we're seeing taking place with that widow woman. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Peter said, you have an inheritance, undefiled, reserved in heaven, prepared by Christ Almighty for you. Sell that ye have, and give alms, and provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. James said of those who save up and hold what God's given them today for a rainy day, he said this, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them, the canker and the rust, because they've just sat there idle. He said, there'll be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last day. Thought, and what he's saying there is a sort of a touch of irony. They thought they were heaping them together to provide for them in the last days. He said, you've heaped them together and they're going to be a witness against you in the last day when God comes. Why? Because he's given us everything we have to use for the furtherance of his gospel. Somebody said to me recently, they said, you can't save with what you're making. I really hope y'all understand, I'm not trying to save anything. I'm not trying to save anything. I'm not sent to save. I'm sent to minister to you. I'm sent to minister to your wives. I'm sent to minister to your children. That's all I want to do. I want to minister to you. That's all. Well, all right, let's look now at the fourth thing. This is what we can be sure of. The Lord always brings to pass His promises to them that believe Him. That's right. You know, that's a simple concept, isn't it? That if we don't ever believe Him, we won't ever find out if it's so. Isn't that simple? But if we believe Him, we'll find out He'll make good on every promise He's given us. Verse 5, so she went from Him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. The vessels, every one of them, were completely filled full. Every one of them. This is not a made-up fable. This is not a story just to put you in some idea of what God did. God really, actually did this with one pot of oil and filled up all those physical vessels of oil. He actually did that. He actually did that when an empty sinner, by faith, receives Christ. He receives all that God requires. He receives all that God commands. He receives all that God gives of eternal life. There's no empty space left over. None. Nothing needs to be or can be added to what Christ is and what Christ has done and what Christ is doing? Absolutely nothing. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. You don't need to put your hand to it. You don't need to put your hand to it whatsoever. If you are, we'd be like Uzzah trying to steady the ark. And he'll kill us dead as a hammer. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. You know what that means? Full. Completely filled up, full as we can be with everything that God requires. Meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Look at chapter 2. We were absolutely empty, completely, totally, thoroughly empty. And from our complete and total emptiness, all the way to we enter into his presence in glory, our fullness is Christ. And all our sufficiency is Christ. From absolute, total emptiness to the fullness of God, all that we need is met in Christ. Look at Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That means Christ did it, you didn't. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. That means God and his Son did it, you didn't do any of that. And you being dead in your sins, that's all you did. Was be dead in your sin. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, meaning you couldn't even make yourself come to God and believe him whatsoever, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, past, present, and future. All of them. All of them. This is what they ain't saying, Joe. This is what they ain't saying. All of them. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Nailing it to his cross. That means the law is fulfilled. And we fulfilled it by faith in Christ. It's finished. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Those were shadows of things to come. But the body, the image, the fulfillment of those things is Christ. Is Christ. Now this, brethren, is the character of one who's been made holy. One who's been brought to see, I'm holy. You know when God gave the law of the clean and the unclean animals? He said, I'm the Lord your God, be ye holy. That was the first thing he said to them. And they were holy because he's holy. And he said, the second thing he said to them was, and I've redeemed you out of bondage. Therefore, be ye holy. He said, sanctify yourselves and be ye holy. They didn't have to do anything to be holy. They were holy. If they went back, or if they turned out of that way, they became unholy. So when he tells us follow after holiness, he's saying, run the race set before you. Stay in the way. Stay in the path God's put you in. And turn not back. He's taken us out of the bondage of the law. He don't say, now go back to it. That's to be entangled again with that yoke from which we've been redeemed, from the guilt of it and from the power of sin in which it aggravated in our flesh. and made known in our flesh. We've been delivered from the power and the guilt and the dominion of it. When it says, I'm dead to the law, it means I'm dead to the law. Well, a man's got to be justified by his works. If you read Galatians, you'll find out that Paul's using justification the same way that James used the word justification. A man is justified not by faith only, but by his works. But what kind of works are they? Two things. Works of faith. Faith means we've completely fulfilled the law because Christ fulfilled it on our behalf. And love means we're doing things now because we know what love is. And what is love? He loved us and gave Himself for us. What is love? We love Him and give ourselves for Him. It's no longer about me. It's about Him. Now that's... But you're not justified by works of the law. You're not justified by... You're not going to manifest your faith as real by turning in and going back and saying, look how many Sabbath days I keep. Look how many holy days I keep. Look how much I do this and I do that. That don't manifest anything but your self-righteousness. How are we going to be make it manifest that we're truly holy? We serve Him by faith and love. That's how. That's the rule of the believer's life, faith and love. Well, these vessels were all filled full. And you know when that oil stopped? You know when it was stayed? You know when it stopped? When there wasn't any more vessels to fill. That's when it stopped. As long as God has one more chosen, redeemed, empty sinner, the grace of God flows full and free. And as long as His vessels of mercy are being used by Him in this earth to call out His sheep through the gospel, everything that they need are going to be provided for them through the full sufficiency of His grace so that they have need of nothing. Need of nothing. Not only is His grace sufficient to pay all our debts, but there's plenty for Christ's bride and His children to live upon until the day of grace ends. Completely. Look at verse 7. Look at Kings 4:7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. All her debts were paid, and she had plenty to live off of the rest of what was given. What'd she do? She just obeyed the Lord and believed Him, and He made good on everything He said He'd do. Isn't walking by faith rather than sight simple? Doesn't it? It takes all the worry. It takes all the panic. It takes all the stress. It takes all of that undue, unneeded baggage and weight that weighs us down out of the way. Just out of the way. How many times do we tell our little children, listen, if you'll just listen to me and do what I'm telling you to do, you don't have to worry about anything. I've got everything taken care of. Just do it. Do what I've told you to do. And then there's a flip side to this that you remember too. When you were a child in your father's house, did you get up in the morning worrying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to eat? Did you get up worrying and saying, I don't know what I'm going to wear today? I realize there's some children that sadden me. I have to worry about that. But you who grew up where your fathers provided for you, you just didn't have to worry about that. What's something that entered your mind? It wasn't until you got to the point to where you realized, I'm in the world now, that you started worrying about those things. Right? But still, brethren, this is what our Lord's teaching us. He that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for each and every one of His elect children of God, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Amen.